That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. At Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia live on Twitter. X Spaces for the final segment of each show. God willing, the Syracuse Orange start another year 4-0 and go undefeated in the non-conference play before hitting this tough little stretch here. Got three games that are on the radar, been on the radar all year. A 29-16 win over a tough Army team yesterday. You'll hear from us, and we'll hear from you in fan feedback. But, as always, before we do that, let's hear what Coach had to say following the game.
Just thoughts and prayers out to Andre Miller. That was the young man that was down, and he's going to be at I want to say upstate tonight, and, you know, whatever he needs, I'm pretty sure the military is going to be able to give him, but we will do our part in whatever it takes.
Coach, a lot more just, you know, connection tonight between Schrader and the wide receivers. How can you speak specifically to how well Alford played tonight?
You know, Alford is a captain, and he has a C on his chest, and that doesn't come easy. That means he has not only the faith and the support of the team, but also the coaches as well. And I was excited for him. It was a breakout game for our, you know, we used to call him Bambi. Now we call him Moose since he's from Canada. But you know the difference between a deer and a moose, right? Like you hit a deer. They tell you to hit a deer because they don't want you to veer off the road and get into trouble. Try hitting a moose and see what happens to your car and you inside of it. So it's a big difference. He's a big guy, and we need him to play big, and we were excited about his performance today. First of all, 9 minutes for the opening drive versus our defense. We were excited about that. I've seen 12 and 14 minutes in that thing. And we changed the way we practice. Normally, we're 3 and out in practices during the week. This week, last week, we were 4 and outs because we knew they were going to go for fourth downs. Talking to the team every practice about how this game was going to go, and it went exactly the way we thought it was going to go. And if it was going to be a close game, they were going to have the ball 40 to 44 minutes. If we found a way to break away, then maybe the reps would be different. But we went into this game understanding that our defense was going to play twice as many snaps as our offense as long as the score was close. And that's why it was important to get away a little bit so that those numbers and those possessions, I mean, they're never going to balance out, but they came a little bit more to normal. LaQuinn is good enough to get 100 yards on the ground and 100 yards in the air. I mean, he's got the ability to be a 200-yard performer. Now, he's just that talented. People don't understand. He's really, really good. So, I'm excited that he got 100, and I don't know what he got in the air, but we need to get him more.
Yeah, Coach, as you know, Army ran the ball quite a lot in that first half. How did you and your coaching staff adjust as far as scheme and personnel to minimize the effects of their run game in the second half?
We put one new thing in at halftime on defense. We put one new thing in at halftime, and then we put it back on the young men. The one thing you want to do as a coach is you don't want to take a game away. You don't want to out-scheme a game away from your guys. We have a lot of talent. We need to make sure that those guys play up to a certain level.
First one, I'm going to steal something from Emily. Isaiah Jones not playing today. Reason why that one in?
Isaiah will be down for a while, and I have no dates on that.
Coach, when you reflect on the non-conference play and being 4-0 as you step into the ACC, when you bundle it all up together, just what you've seen from this team and the resolve of your team, guys that have stepped up when they've needed to as well.
I think the key part, DT, is exactly what you said on the step-up part. I mean, we've got guys going down, and this is what happens in football, and it's the conversation's too long for me to give you all the answers up here and behind this microphone. But the key thing is it's the next man up attitude, and your offense and your defense is varying. It's changing based off of personnel, and it needs to. You know, like, we're going to do what we always do. You can't do that. Some guys are different than other guys. There's a reason why some guys go to the NFL and some guys use their college degrees to make a lot of money. And you have to understand that you want to always stress your best players. Make your best players have stress. Don't make your players that are not the best have the stress in the offense or the stress on the defense.
All right, so into Coach's opening remarks, as far as Andre Miller goes, a scary scene for a little bit there. And obviously, we wish him the best, but I think I saw a report from Syracuse.com that says, you know, it's not a, you know, he's moving extremities and things. So
right,
a lot of that stuff's precaution because it's, you know, it's a touchy thing. And I think it was friendly fire, if I remember right. And I think,
yep.
I was watching this game from my phone at my son's birthday party, which I'm a terrible dad. So anyway, it was tough. Sometimes I had the phone in my pocket and I was just listening. So anyways, I went back and watched some of the highlights from YouTube TV, whatever they pull out, you know. So anyway, obviously hope he's good, but a scary scene nonetheless. Now, Damian Alford, we talked about who was going to be the ones who stepped up. Obviously, his name is always at the top of the list. And 6'6", what? 6'6", 210, 220, something like that. I mean,
right.
The dude's an animal. And you saw exactly how Schrader was throwing those balls. And there's, you know, he's that guy that can just go up and get those. He's just got to do it. So to the point last week, Joe, you know, I didn't see like drop passes. It wasn't really a thing yesterday. Right. So, you know, the offense started slow, but, you know, it wasn't due to that. So
right.
Breakout game for sure. Like Coach said, 9 receptions, 135 yards. And, you know, like we heard Coach talking about Isaiah Jones, might as well just go ahead and get that out of the way, out for a while, going to need, good to see Pena back. And obviously with Damian Alford, if he gets into a rhythm, I think he can be extremely dangerous. And obviously we need him to play big time. So,
right.
Good game for him though. And, happy for him. No TDs, but look, 135 yards. He led that core and, just hopefully like he said in the presser, you know, every game, this is my best game. Well, next week I want it to be my best game. And if he's putting those goals in front of himself and he's that driven, he'll go out and get it. So it's a good sign.
Yeah. He's got, obviously there's just God given ability that there's nothing you can do. And we talked, in the preview about, you know, the Army cornerbacks being short and we should be able to take advantage of that in, you know, a lot of it was catching it and going out of bounds and staying out near the, you know, the sideline, and that kind of guarantees, especially in a zone, that you're kind of going to go man to man, right? And so those balls, I mean, you might not be able to throw all of the balls that he threw against every team,
right?
But there's a lot there that would work against pretty much anybody because he just threw it where nobody else could get it from him or but him. And then, you know, to piggyback on that, Amari Hatcher and Donovan Brown, they caught a couple clutch passes, and I even like the one that Valari caught in his run after the catch. So, yeah, overall, the receiver, you know, maybe Babers was right. Maybe they just weren't used to the lights out there.
The lights at night, yeah. I'm still not buying that, but there could be some truth to it. But either way, you got to go out. You're playing at a high level, you need to perform at a high level, and that's just that's not a reason, it's an excuse. So
right.
You know, yeah, Donovan Brown, he caught a real clutch one, and I don't remember what it was, but
was a third down.
Yeah, okay.
Across the middle.
Yeah, and Amari Hatcher, obviously, with a touchdown reception. So,
stop spinning the ball, mate.
Yeah. Yeah,
I get it.
I mean I don't. Here's the thing. I had to watch that a couple times. It was the jawing, I think. He didn't really like spin it at the guy, but he was a little hyped up, and he might have said something. We don't know what he said. It seemed quick and short and sweet, I should say. It's just one of those things. It's like
anything like that in college, though, they call.
Yes, they do, because you know, obviously, you're dealing with a lot of testosterone. Right, young testosterone, and you don't want to get this. You know, we don't need that. We don't need it.
Right.
But with that said, I mean, just control yourself. Act like you've been there. And I think especially against Army, you know, I mean, it's a little bit different of a game. It is. I feel first of all, like Coach said, I feel like they catch a lot of breaks with the penalties. Okay, I feel like they do a little bit, but I think that's traditionally just how that goes.
There's a couple.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple. There's a horse collar and a couple other things that
horse collar on the sideline. Trevor Pena on the punt return. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, there was just some nothing crazy.
No,
like
nothing crazy.
Games.
Exactly. Not as bad as the past couple games, but yeah, just you know, keep your head down and do your thing, you know. I kind of like the high five action that Garrett Schrader, I think it was LaQuinn Allen, right? Was LaQuinn Allen and Garrett Schrader high fiving in the end zone against Purdue?
Wasn't that last? Oh, yeah, against Purdue. Yeah.
Yeah. So, was it LaQuinn Allen?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. I like that. I like the handshake. What was it, Marshawn Lynch used to do the handshake?
Right.
You know, I like that. You know, that's kind of, you made your point. And you know, you go congratulate your teammates, and it's almost worse in a certain way to be as subtle as possible about it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you were watching live, but he definitely got called out to the coach.
Oh, yeah, I saw
had
that.
Had to go deal with the receiving coach and then Babers, and you know, reading Babers' lips, you know, you're giving him a chance to return a kickoff now, basically, because Denneberg, without extra yards, pretty much hits it in the –
oh yeah,
15, in the end zone every time.
Putting them back 15 yards. I think they got started at over the 30.
Yeah.
So they had good field position to start that. But anyway, yeah, a good job by them, and all of them need to step up. And I felt like they were pretty good. So the first drive of the game, I don't know if like we were talking, Joe, and we stopped talking because we realized we were saying too much. But at the beginning of that game, that did not surprise me as much as Syracuse coming in and going three and out. But when you sit there and you're running almost, you know, over 9 minutes off the clock in the opening drive of the game, and, you know, that's 9 minutes play time. So we're looking at least probably 20 minutes of just Schrader sitting around waiting and the offense sitting around waiting. And then, you know, they kind of got punched in the mouth. And then they go out there, and what surprised me more than that was the three and out, which I really got punched in the mouth. I mean, it took a whole half for that offense to get going. And this from SU the Juice, I think it's this used to be the Big Orange back in the day. Army came into the game converting 40% of their third downs and all six of their fourth down attempts against FBS schools. Now, I remember a stat I heard during the game. It says they were 10 for 10 on fourth down attempts. And they just got this freaking bowling ball that Jacoby Buchanan. Yeah. He's a monster of a guy.
Yeah.
And he's going to get 2-3 yards every time he touches the ball. So it's almost like, you know, you could just take him and go just march down the field almost. You know what I mean? So, you know, they're that team that does that. You heard Coach talk about how they prepped for the game and, you know, going four and outs instead of, because they knew that was going to happen. So it doesn't surprise me. They had two frustrating drives like that. It's so frustrating as a fan to watch that. And Coach prepared the team. If you listen to the whole presser, prepared the team for, look, don't get frustrated. Here's what's going to happen. And, you know, without a doubt, it did, obviously, and it's frustrating to watch. But they really only had two drives like that. After that, they kind of struggled, and they slowed the game down so much. How many possessions did Syracuse have? Three possessions in the first half, right? So they each
had four.
Four, okay. So they each had four then, pretty much. So, you know, they're only if they can't be successful, they hurt themselves too when you play like that. So, you know, Syracuse made an adjustment in the half there on offense and defense, and Schrader came out with, you know, getting some little short passes and getting that a little bit more confidence and just settling in. And once he settled in, and then, you know, he ran for a good one, first down one time. And then, I mean, once he had that, you could see it, him getting a rhythm. And from there on out, it was game over. They just totally dominated in the second half. So, a little nerve-wracking, but
it was nerve-wracking. And especially like we said, when they have two drives in the first half that equal out to 36 plays in almost 19 minutes out of the possible 30 minutes, you know, of the half, you know, that type of stuff is demoralizing. And those were their two scoring drives that got them down, or they got them the 10 points that they had. But yeah, like you said, for them to do that and us to come out and just go three and out in 1 minute, I mean, it was a minute off the clock, and then they got the ball back. You know, then we made them punt, and we got the ball back, got a field goal. It was a back and forth kind of thing there for a little bit, but then they had that 19 play drive to end in the half, really. And we threw an interception going into halftime. So that was our fourth, if you want to say, there's a fourth time that we got the ball, and we were really kind of rushing to get it down to try to get some points because there wasn't a lot of clock left. And Schrader threw that interception that they almost returned. So, I mean, really, when you look at the fact that they had 23 minutes, right? About 20. Actually, they probably had more than that.
They had 20. You're talking about time of possession?
Talking about time of possession in the first half.
I don't know the first half. I have the whole number here. They had 33 minutes and 20 seconds to our 26:40. I'm not sure what they had in the first half, but they.
So I think they had 23, 24 minutes out of the possible 30 in the first half.
That sounds about right.
And so the fact that they had that, and then they had the dropped interception that could have gone for a pick six, I think that was the first three and out, I believe. And then they had another interception that they almost ran to the house at the end of the half. I mean, that really, really could have been ugly. So the fact that we even went into halftime at 10-3 was a blessing, really.
Yeah, I think, you know, like Coach said with the opening drive, you know, they were happy with the 9-10 minute opening drive because he's seen, you know, 12-14 minutes on some of that stuff. So LeQuint, you know, he only had 23 receiving yards, and you know, we know that's not even the tip of the iceberg for him, but 104 yards on the ground, and after a slow start for him too. His third 100-plus rushing yard game of his young career at Syracuse. So, obviously, like to see him get more involved out of the backfield in the passing game. But, I mean, we'll get there. I think Syracuse was just kind of doing what they knew they needed to do. And I don't want to say it was a dire situation, but they definitely had to change things up. Now, Coach says they adjusted the defense and they added one new thing, but it didn't say what it was. And I'm not smart enough to determine what that was either, and obviously that's going to be kept in the back pocket anyway. But you know, whatever it was, it worked. And again, overcoming some of the adversity of a slow start like this, you know, remember last year we played from behind all the time. Remember that we always started slow. I remember talking about this a lot. They'd come out, they'd start slow, and right, then they'd end up picking it up. But like Schrader has said this year, and he said plenty of times last year, like, they just got to come out and play hard. This is a different animal. This game against Army is a different animal. You know, I don't think there's a team that we're going to see. It's not the Wake Forest of old. And I don't think that we're going to see anything like this in the ACC. So that's a difficult scheme, and you see why they do it. The discipline of them to be able to do it. They've got the size to be able to do it and to just run the ball down your throat constantly. And they didn't pass much. I wish I had his first Bryson Daly's first half passing stats, because his 145 yards, a lot of that came like really close to the end of the game. There was that late touchdown.
That was an 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. So, there you go.
Okay, yeah, so he had 60 yards before that. Yeah. So, anyways,
it's
just they are a one-trick pony still, kind of, although they do pass a little bit more. But with that said, he can't, that Bryson Daly, now maybe he can pass, but he could not pass yesterday. He was way off. He had a couple good ones, but that Syracuse defense had him guessing, just like they almost, like they had us guessing what the hell they were going to be doing with their option play. So,
yeah,
you know, I thought for what it was, our defense did a tremendous job, and they struggled doing anything other than running the ball. And when, by the time they got something big, it was too late.
Well, yeah, and then so I know it's easy for, I mean, we saw the text going back and forth in our group thread with, you know, Michael and Cuse Waterboy, and you know, I had a couple other buddies, Sabo, and you know, it's easy to get demoralizing early, especially, oh, we're just letting this Army team just run it down our throats. Like, we got to step it up. What are these other schools going to do? But like, to your point, you know, these are very, very hardworking, patient, very disciplined players when you talk about the service academies, even if you want to go Air Force and you want to go Navy. They don't have the talent, you know, and sometimes the size that a lot of these Power Five schools have, and to play these guys and to have a chance to win, they got to put you in rough situations like that. So, you know, in hindsight, you might want to look at it and be like, oh, well, you know, why did we defer to the second half? You know, why didn't we get the ball? I mean, you saw what happened to Army's offense when they had to play from behind and they couldn't just run it and, you know, run 9 yard or 9 minute drives. But then when you look at how we started the game
offense. Yeah.
What would it have been if we'd have just got the ball and went three and out, and then they go and they have their nine yard, you know, and then they get the ball at half.
Yeah.
So at least this gave us a chance to keep it close, figure out what they were doing. I mean, in hindsight, it's always 50-50, especially when you see how the damn game plays out, because we do get the ball only down 10-3 in the second half, and we went 43 yards in 8 plays, went for it on 4th down, missed it, but then we held them to a 3 and out, and then we scored in 5 consecutive possessions in the second half. So, and we pretty much stopped them. I don't think they got a first down in between there, and I think they had 2 interceptions. So, or through 2 interceptions.
Yeah, through.
So,
yeah.
Based upon what we saw in Purdue, and based upon obviously now, and like what you talked about, it does kind of seem like we start off slow. We try to figure out, you know, where we can go and where we can attack, and sometimes it doesn't look great. You know, there's sometimes Schrader looks like it takes a little while for him to wake up. You know, especially on sometimes in these noon games. But nonetheless, our halftime adjustments have been pretty good these last 2 games when we really needed it. Last game, they spoke about, you know, the Coach Long coming in and making a play, a defensive play, a new one they hadn't practiced, and that it helped them out in the second half against Purdue, and we came back and, you know, beat them, right? And same thing goes for Army. You know, we went in and we made some adjustments, and we came in the second half and we looked like the team that we should look like against them. You know, it's not always going to look pretty against these guys. You know, these type of teams are going to play you hard, and you're going to have to earn it. And I think that yesterday we earned it for sure. And that defense in the second half was great.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, like you were saying, like the whole receiver defer thing. I mean, I always defer. I mean, I don't see many negatives to it. So you go, you defer, you see what they got. Okay. They go down, they take 9-10 minutes, go down there and punch us in the mouth and score. Not okay. Look, it's out of the way. It's done and over with. Take that, shelve it, learn from it. You come out, you go 3 and out. It doesn't matter. If for me, we had an opportunity, and it's a great play by their defense, whoever intercepted that ball. It was a great play because it wasn't a terrible pass. It was Cameron Jones who intercepted
at the end of the half.
Yeah, at the end of the half.
Yeah, I think that he had a hatcher short. He should have went there. I don't know. Maybe he was, and it was overthrown. I don't know, but
it just was just too much time for him to jump the route at the last second. That's all. I mean, it was on target. It just wasn't timing, I guess, was the thing.
Right. But,
You know, you're looking at being able to go ahead and take points at the end of the half, whether it's a field goal or what, because, I mean, you go in 10-6, right? You know, it's a whole lot better than 10-3, and then you get the ball back. So, I mean, that's why I like it. I mean, plain and simple. So, you know, I guess there's an argument to be had there, but I didn't even think twice about it. I really didn't.
And honestly, too, realistically, you got to know the temperature of your team, right?
Yeah, well, that, I mean, the temperature of both teams.
Well, the temperature of both teams, right? You know how Army's going to come out and hit you in the mouth, whether they get it into the beginning or not. You know, no matter what time they get their first possession, they're still going to come in and try to do that. So, and like you said, against certain teams, like, yeah, it seems like, you know, we do start off a little bit slow, and it seems like we are really good so far this year at the halftime adjustments with these new coordinators. So why not? You know, why not keep it going? I know that we probably didn't beat them as badly as some teams would have wanted to, but our fans would have wanted us to. But judging how that first half went, to come back and score 26 points,
yeah,
is right on par from what we've been scoring. And, you know, 26 is, I guessed 42 points, and they scored half of what
the games aren't going to be so pretty. And to think that this game was supposed to be so pretty against a team that does this is, I just don't think that that's a reasonable expectation. And there were some fans groveling about it. I just don't think that that's first of all, that's, you sound a little bit spoiled. And also, it's just not not realistic.
Well, I mean, look,
get ready, because if you think that was ugly, I mean, Florida State.
No, well, Dippet Army makes it look ugly, right?
I mean, they make it look ugly.
It's a team that can't match up with you with talent, but they make it look ugly because they are very good at what they do. So that's really where it comes down to. Even when you looked at I guessed it 42-14. So I thought it was going to be different too. There was a lot of guesses that were more than what the actual spread was. I mean, they only won by 13, which, talk about bad beat. From what I understand, the spread was 13.5. So when they threw that 80-yard touchdown, anybody that bet Syracuse, I think, lost. So kind of a bad beat as far as that's concerned.
Yeah,
but
that's too bad.
Hopefully some people got them at 12.5 at some point. I don't know, but I
thought that's what it opened up as, 12.5.
But yeah, no, I mean, that's just what it is. It's, if we would have jumped on them early and we would have scored a little bit earlier, then I think that it would have been something a little bit, if we could have scored with them, at least gone into, we would have went into half 10-10, right? Or 13-10, or we would have scored another 10 points, which we could have, then I think obviously the score looked a little bit differently. But the fact of only going through the first half and scoring 3 points, and obviously that's going to be a little bit ugly. And we knew that it could go due to two different ways, right? And I think that we knew what this Army offense was going to look like when they had to play from behind. And it was just, at what point in the game was it going to get there? How long was it going to take for us to kind of get the lead to force them to have to pass and kind of go to the part of their offense they're not great at? And it just took a longer than I think what a lot of Syracuse fans expected. And that's probably why it was really, really difficult for some fans to deal with when it all comes down to it. Because I can understand. I mean, I was very frustrated watching that first quarter, and I can only imagine if I was sitting in the dome for that. So.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, being frustrated is one thing, but being disappointed with an overwhelmingly controlled second half to an ugly start, is to be upset about that is another. Like, you should be happy that these guys can do that, period.
Right, because UTSA couldn't, and they're supposed to be a decent squad, and Army went down to Texas, and if you think that's bad, Syracuse fans, UTSA had to deal with that two halves. So, and that's the thing I saw the first half and I'm like, this is going straight towards another 45 minute time of possession, just like UTSA. So
yeah,
that's where I was nervous about it. But again, the second half adjustments and some of those plays with those guys, you could tell that the safeties came down and they started making more plays. You know, Clark, Barron, stuff like that. Marlo Wex started figuring out their blocking scheme, and he was starting to get first contact around the line of scrimmage versus 2-3 yards downfield. So. Don't know exactly what they did, but whatever they did seemed to have worked.
Yeah.
Minus one play. And according to Noon's Magician, you take that 80-yard touchdown away, and we were holding them to 41 total yards of offense in the second quarter with -4 rushing yards.
You mean second half? Yeah.
Second half, yeah. And obviously that counts sacks and stuff like that. But, yeah, we had them rattled. You could tell Army's confidence is at all-time high in the first half, and then coming out and punching him in the mouth the way we did in the second half really kind of.
Yeah, Schrader had, I think this is also from Noon, Schrader had 62 yards in an interception in the first half, and he ended up going 21 for 26 for 245 and a touchdown. And he had plus 10 rushes for 60 yards and another touchdown. So yeah, I mean, there's just the
tale of two halves.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that, and I'm like, I'm so tired of that. We got to come up with something else.
Yeah, I know.
As we say, we got to find a better analogy for that, because that's the story of us. That's Syracuse football and basketball in a nutshell. You know what I mean? It's so weird, but it's just how it goes. All right, it's time to hear from you.
It's time to hear from you. The Loud Mouths from the Loud House.
All right, it's that time of the week. At the end of every game, I ask for your thoughts on said game. You go to any social and you leave it. And, well, not any. Basically just the big two. Leave your thoughts on the game, and we'll talk about them here. Joe's going to handle the Book of Faces, and I've got Twitter up here right now. Yes, that's been the trend. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to step up.
Yeah, I appreciate
more responsibility. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate it. You deserve a raise. At Oil Cuse, I'm surprised Army tried to throw the ball at all. Their run game looked unstoppable, particularly that goal line package with the 270-pound running back.
Buchanan.
Yeah, I think the running back price. Should be replaced. I don't know what that means. Why was Jones not playing? We're not sure, right? I mean, obviously injury. Alfred was a beast today. Yes, and Alfred needs to be consistent. You know, back to Coach always saying, you know, better to be consistently good than occasionally great, right? Well, we've kind of seen that from Alfred, and you know, he was awesome yesterday. He didn't score, but he did everything that he needed to do. Some very clutch throws in our first touchdown drive, the one LaQuinn Allen ran in. And then, you know, just throughout the game, just hauling in the tough catches, and Schrader doing a good job of putting them there. And I heard in their presser, I heard Alfred talking, you know, he's had faith in Garrett since he walked in. So I think, you know, they work on that. I think it's going to develop into something. He's just got to get a little bit more consistent. That's all. And, you know, we've seen what he can do. We know what he can do. He's a big-ass dude. 6'6". Yeah. So
he's real big, and he's still, you know, he's still coming into his own. But to speak on the other parts of that comment, I think that he was alluding to the second stringer Juwan Price.
Yeah, that's what he was talking about.
And then also, I know Isaiah Jones, this is probably another situation where we were withholding information type thing, but I know I did mention that I saw, obviously, Alfred get a little banged up, but I saw Isaiah Jones get banged up as well against Purdue, and I didn't see him come back in the game at some point in the second half. So
he didn't, I thought we mentched it last week.
We did, yeah. But they never mentioned that there was an actual
injury.
Yeah. So
It wasn't asked about after the game during the presser, and if you ain't asking, you ain't getting no information. That's for damn sure.
I mean, most of the time when you ask, you're not getting information. Exactly. Anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Some of it's so pointless, but I mean, it's just how it is. At No Blanchard 44, our run defense is not great, but a win is a win. If the dome is not filled next week, we riot. Well, look, I thought the run defense was actually shored up. And I think we got gouged. We've gotten gouged before. But at the end of the day, when you've got basically four rushers, let's call it four. Yeah, you got four rushers, and we're looking at about 125 yards, and they used more than that, but they're under 10 yards each. That's pretty good. And that's all they did the first half. So I think it's pretty good. I wasn't totally impressed, but expected, I think, most of it. So, it's not great. I guess it's not great. I mean, we'll see. I don't think we're going to face the likes of something like that again this year. Not like that. Not methodically driven down your throat like that.
So. No. And realistically, too, I mean, I'm not going to do the math right now, but after four games, Army is still averaging over 209 rushing yards per game. And that's after the 125 that we allowed yesterday. So realistically, they were higher than 200 going into the game as far as average. We held them to 125 yards rushing overall, 2.7 average per rush when you look into 46 attempts. And we had 158 yards rushing, so we rushed.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, and Buchanan was the one. He's averaging 3.7. Okay, and he rushed the ball six times. So that
and
was.
And they put him in there to get first downs on third and fourth down. That's pretty much it. So
I know, but he averaged the most out of any of those backs. It's just methodical. You get two and a half yards a carry, and you have four downs to do it. That's first down. That's what they did.
Yeah, so, but and I understand what your point is, but wasn't there some type of Twitter thing like last when we were talking about the preview and they were talking about, their rushing offense versus our rushing defense, and they had like number nine rushing offense, we had like the 11 rushing defense, and we held them to way under their average by close to 100 points going into this game. So right. I'm just saying it's hard for me to say.
And what was the first drive? 75 yards?
I don't know exactly how many were rushing, but I mean, they were negative 4 yards rushing in the second half. Yeah, so most of that 125 came in the first half. And that's why I'm just kind of rebuking the fact of like that comment saying that we don't have that our rushing defense isn't good, because we just held the top 10 rushing team to almost 100 yards under the rushing average.
Yeah. If not now, when 84. Not going to lie, the first half, I was pretty nervous. The staff made amazing adjustments at the half, and we shut them down. Schrader probably could have run more, but he's healthy, and that's all that matters. Good game by Alford and Allen. On to Clemson, go Cuse. You know, the one thing about this game I thought about, I mean, there was a couple moments where people, were helped off the field and came back. And for a grudge match like this, I feel like, we came out on top as far as the injury battle goes.
Right.
We came out healthier, a lot healthier than we could have. Let's just put it that way. So I was nervous too. I was frustrated. I was nervous. But, you've got to always just keep a cool head. It's like that 75-yard rush from what's his noggin from Western Michigan. It's like, oh boy, we don't all need to melt down. It's going to be okay. We're all frustrated. It's going to be fine. So
it was super frustrating. I'm not going to lie. Like I said, it's because you start to wonder as a fan, is this what we're going to see the whole entire game? No,
but like, but the faith, how much faith do you have in the defense? I mean, I wasn't too worried about it, but I was worried, just like everybody. I wasn't too worried. I don't think you could keep that up the whole game. I was worried mostly about the three and out and then having the defense come back on the field after that 9-10 minute drive that they just had to handle, and then our offense can't stay on the field. That's what I was worried about. Then once they were able to fix that, you could kind of see it equalizing, and then after the second half, you just saw, I mean, Syracuse offensively and defensively just took the game over. So if they have the three and outs, if they have more three and outs, it's worse. But the bend don't break, Joe. He always mentioned that. I'm surprised you haven't yet. But they bent. They didn't break. And in fact, they're resilient as hell. At David7W, the first half gave me flashbacks to Notre Dame last year when we couldn't stop the run. Beck waited out the storm and started mixing it up in the second half. Once we committed to stopping the run, it was clear we had more firepower. Praying for Dre Miller. So, yes, yeah, I mean, once we stopped the run and they realized, well, and they started to get down and we started to pull ahead and they realized they had to pass. They could not. They could not. And Bryson Daly could not pass. Take away that 80-yard pass and we're down to 60-ish, 65-ish. So, yeah, absolutely. At our files, 90, biggest takeaway was seeing this team face some level of real adversity for the first time. Right, we were just talking about that. It's a great point. That's a great point because we just made it. Was able to make the right adjustments and respond when needed, especially on defense, on the defensive side, with shutting down the run game completely in the second half. Yep, it's good. What do you got?
That's a lot. I was going to say that's a lot of the
Facebook.
A lot of the Facebook stuff. I mean, Jim, tale of two halves. Took both groups a while to wake up. Must have had a big pot of coffee at halftime. Michael DeLello, a slow and scary start, but the Mob eventually solved the Army run game. Halftime adjustments with defense were spot on. Completely reversed the first half stats. Receiver caught the balls today. Great game. Yeah, I mean, this is pretty much – okay, here's one. Boy, Zach.
Our boy, this Zach. Top fan echelon on Facebook yet?
He is not. Come on, not Zach. Yet.
I'm still gonna give him that. Filler boy.
So this had the making of a perfect letdown look ahead spot. Army's clock management had me extremely worried before the game began. I really want to see another running back step it up. I'll be loud and crazy in the dome next Saturday. We need to sell the dome out at start. The season 5-0. Extremely pleased we walked away with no major injuries, although Shredder and LeQuint gave me a couple of plays that held my breath.
I like that. Why have we never thought of that yet? Garrett Shredder.
Garrett Shredder. I don't know. They started talking about that last week. So, Andy, felt like a noon game. Lackluster performance for two quarters. Clemson will run the same sort of basic offense against us, just with much better athletes. This game came at the perfect time, almost feels like a blueprint for how to beat Clemson. Stop the run and force them to throw.
Clemson, totally beatable, as we've seen.
Well, yes. I mean, I understand that, but we also have to kind of take that with a grain of salt because, again, Clemson does get really, really good recruiting classes. They have really, really good talent, and they've lost to two undefeated teams, Florida State and Duke.
And they blew it. They blew it yesterday, and they could have won that game. There was a missed field goal.
You can argue they blew it against Duke, too, with all the turnovers and stuff like that. So, I mean, it seems like, yes, they are more beatable because, obviously, it looks like they're, you know, making mistakes that they normally haven't made in the past with some of their teams. So there is that, you know, they have this walk-on kicker that missed a big kick. So, yeah, there's definitely beatable for sure. But, you know, if we allow them to run the ball, they have some good running backs, and Klubnik can run. But Klubnik still throws – I mean, he's got some issues sometimes with throwing the ball. They don't have their receivers that they normally have in Clemson. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand why people would think that. But let's see. Scott Peeling, my take, which may be unpopular. Army has a lot of close games in the first half because they run an offense that teams don't see and also control the clock. Fans get nervous because there are never a lot of possessions, but they generally end up having teams pull away in the second half after adjustments are made. I'm not mad about this win today. They outrushed Army and won by two touchdowns, except for the first quarter. SU kind of controlled this game.
Yeah.
That's about right.
That's fair. Kind of. I mean, I'm saying kind of controlled the game. Yeah. Because obviously they didn't very well in the first. But yeah, it's good. Let's see. Did I do at our files yet? Yes, I did. At Q's Waterboard 2. Impressed how disciplined Army plays, especially with their snap counts with receivers in motion. We slept walk until the second half, but imposed our will with Allen and Alford. Rather win ugly than lose pretty, plus not playing perfect gives us things to work on for Clemson 4-0. You know, we mentioned it a little bit, but yeah, Allen started slow and ended up with over 100 yards, and it started when he kind of broke that touchdown run, and then, you know, it's like one of those things, just a mental thing maybe, but after that, he was pretty solid. So, and like I said, more for Allen out of the backfield in the passing game, I think is going to be needed. And I just don't know. Obviously, they're not forcing it either. So, it wouldn't, you know, it'd be cool to see Syracuse run kind of a triple option type thing. Cause they got the, they, I feel like they've got, obviously they've got people to do it with.
Yeah.
I know Juwan Price takes some heat, but we've seen him do okay. He's got to get better though. I mean, we need a little bit, we're going to need a little bit more out of him. I feel like,
no, I
feel
like, yeah, that's pretty, I mean, accurate. I just, they don't really give them that much opportunity. You know, I mean, it's just kind of par for the course. It's, you're going to play your best players. If there's that big of a gap, I mean, you're not going to put in your second string unless you'd really need them to, right? I mean, when you looked at last year, we had LaQuinn Allen sitting on the bench, and Sean Tucker basically played majority of the time. So, I mean, if he's your best player, that's, you feel like you need to still, you know, kind of stay in there. I like how he dropped him off. I mean, he had a dump pass off to him off of, you know, an extended play, and he also lined up one time out as a receiver and made a catch. The Quint did, and obviously, I think that they have to start getting him the ball in rushing situations, you know, early and often. To be perfectly honest with you, I think that they waited a little too long, and I feel like sometimes it seems like we're a lot more pass heavy than what we should be. Or we could at least pass, but you know. I mean, I feel like LaQuinn Allen is a perfect running back for screen passes.
Yeah.
You know, for pitches, plays outside, stuff like that. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that I'd like to see at least them try a little bit earlier in the game than, you know, have Garrett run around and throw the ball from shotgun every single time. So, I mean, I think that we need to run a little bit more to become a little bit more balanced, because I feel like at this rate, teams, especially good teams, I mean, even you saw it yesterday with Army. I mean, he read Garrett Schrader's eyes, and I mean, I know they got one interception at the end of the first half, but that should have been a pick six in the first quarter. He dropped
it.
Yeah. You know, and better teams are going to take advantage of that. And if that's what we're doing all the time, the teams are going to know how to spy him. And again, our receivers are stepping up. They are young, and they are without a guy like Aronde that would have probably had double coverage and people looking for him the whole game. So they still going to have to step up when talent gets better, and we're going to need to attack teams better than what we have been.
Yeah. And look, I really appreciate you guys. There's a lot of good comments in here. I'm just going through, and we don't have time to do them all, because we're going to do the good and the bad and the ACC from yesterday. But a lot of good comments. Let's at T.Tiramigi, survive in advance, tough opponent. Staff made great halftime adjustments. Best thing about 4-0. And then there's one. I'm going to do a couple more real quick. At Stambiz7. Win's a win. Need to be cleaned up as soon as possible, or we could be looking at 4-4 before we even blink. And obviously, that could happen in any situation. I just don't think it was sloppy. I thought it really wasn't that sloppy of a game. It was just kind of, it was a little ugly, but it wasn't. I don't think it was sloppy. I don't think it was at all. But I understand your point. I don't see 4-4 though. I mean, at the worst, I see maybe 5-3. But because you got, speaking of the good and the bad, you got Virginia Tech in that fourth game that he's talking about. So they're talk about the struggle bus. They're on it. Let's see. Let's do our buddy Dom at Baptized by Fire 7. Thank goodness this game is over. I hope that this is our stinker for this year. We would have lost this game in seasons past. Now let's beat 2-2 Clemson and put the nail in their coffin for this ACC season. Like Joe said, and I'm with you, Joe, that's a good point. That's still going to be a tough out, even at the Dome. And I imagine, too, that fans are going to show up for that. I feel like they always show up for that regardless. Regardless of what time it is. Well, I mean,
dude, if you're undefeated and you got Clemson coming in a damn,
and you can't pack that place, yeah, I know. That would be embarrassing, to say the very least. It's orange out, too, I think I saw from Otto's Army. I think that's going to be an orange out for that game. So, anyways, Joe, unless you have something that's going to knock my socks off, we can go ahead and we can look at the biggest winner and the biggest loser in the ACC.
Not even really a knock your socks off. Just
what do you got?
Again, I just think it's something to kind of leave people thinking about, you know, because this easily could have been, and I think that we had, what was this? But this easily could have been a let-up game, right? Like what Zach Shea, like our boy Zach said, you know, those games where, you know, you think you're just going to run over somebody and you're worried more about next week, right? Worried more about Clemson.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, right.
And we still got through it. We got through it healthy. And when you look at Clemson, they're 2-2. You know, do they got people that's, you know, are starting to lose faith, even though they have lost good teams? You know, they played that against Florida State, went into overtime. I'm sure they're not going to come in 100% healthy. I'm going to be beat up a little bit. I mean, I know they went into yesterday's game a little bit beat up too.
They did, yeah. I heard that.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, the mental aspect of, you know, these games. I think there's probably some people on the Syracuse side that are, you know, kind of, you know, like, thank God we got through that one, right? And we're 4-0. And then meanwhile, you got Clemson. Are they going to be mad? Are they going to be more upset about the fact they've already got two losses? And, you know,
it's more important. I mean, if you just look from 30,000 foot view, it's more important for Clemson to win this game than it is Syracuse. I mean, it'd be great if Syracuse won, but Clemson, they're fighting for their lives right now.
Well, especially, I mean, every team can say what their goals, I mean, everyone can say their goals starting the season are winning the national championship, right? But, right. I mean, how many teams can say that's actually a realistic goal?
Right,
well,
Clemson can. That's
a realistic goal, yes, yeah. Absolutely. So, and right now they're sitting at two losses.
Yeah.
And the way that the ACC is looking right now, I'm pretty sure we have, what, six teams, I think, that are still undefeated?
Yeah,
top two with the best record.
Us, UNC, Florida State, and NC State. Well, no, not NC State.
No, you got the four ranked teams. We'll go over it. But I'm saying is give somebody to think about. Gives you something to think about, you know?
Yeah, so that brings us to just this brief discussion on the games yesterday. And I didn't watch all of these, but I was definitely had my eye on the NC State-Virginia game.
And Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night. And that was a great
ending.
It was a great ending, but it was a great game to have on a Friday evening. It's a great game to have on a Friday evening because, you know, I love ACC football.
Yeah.
And to have it just have a solo game on Friday night was awesome. And I was rooting for UVA. You know, they had the numbers of the fallen players that were shot last year in an end zone, and you got what's his name Brennan over there.
Brennan Armstrong and Robert and I.
So well, Brennan Armstrong was playing for UVA last year,
right?
And now he plays for the Wolfpack. So I was really rooting for UVA to take that game, and you know, kind of a lot leading up to it, and UVA goes in this game 0-3, and they're playing a decent NC State team, and they end up just letting it slip late. But you know, 24-21, a good game. I would say just tapping into that. But I would say the biggest winner has to be Florida, and then the biggest loser has got to be Virginia Tech losing against Marshall. I know Marshall's now 3-0, but I mean Virginia Tech. What happened? You know? What's going on? 24-17, too. I mean, I don't know. Virginia Tech's got bad, too, man.
Well, I mean, so you look at it, obviously, we took care of business. Florida State Clemson, to me, I thought that was going to be a good game. I don't necessarily think that that's the biggest win.
Well, both teams, well, yeah, okay, fair. I understand. I mean,
it's the biggest win, but it's not their season. Right? If they lose that. True. And I'm not saying that it's a lot of every team's seasons. To me, it's more or less like, to me, it was kind of proof, right? I mean, Miami, they went on the road and won 41-7, and that was pretty convincing. Duke beat up UConn really good 41-7, which if you remember, NC State only beat UConn by 10 points. So I think NC State's down a little bit this year. North Carolina, they won at Pittsburgh 41-24. So these ranked teams really, you know, they held serve, they held their own, and obviously Florida State beating Clemson.
Quickly at Clemson. On the UNC Pitt game, okay. Now look, I found myself, and I'm telling you,
Shut up.
I'm telling you guys this, in full confidence that no one, that you're not going to tell anybody. But I found myself rooting for Pitt to win that game. And I'm like, stop it. You stop. And I was pissing myself off, but I just did not want to see North Carolina win. It was so annoying. So anyway, I was telling my wife, I'm like, look, I grew up hating Pitt. I don't know. I don't care who wins this game, really. I should not give a crap. But anyways, you know, it's just that part. It's just that side of me that roots for the underdog sometimes, except for Colorado. That's the one underdog I did not root for yesterday.
Okay. Well, so just to go, I mean, obviously there's some close ones in the ranked teams. They held serve so much for that Duke is actually – their game day is going to Durham next week because okay. Duke's got Notre Dame coming to the house. I mean,
UConn is 0-4.
I know, but Duke's also 4-0, and they've won every single one of their games by more than 20 points this year, and one of them was Clemson. So – and they moved up as well. So, but to me, I think
Let's be honest. That quarterback, that Ryan Leonard dude, is impressive.
He's very impressive. Yeah. He's got a couple things, obviously, just like any other quarterback. But he's a very impressive quarterback without a doubt. But so is that defense, that coaching staff, just the way they turned that whole program around in just 2 years with this guy.
Yeah, it makes you want to vomit, doesn't it? A little bit.
Not really.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So, but I was really looking at the three games. To me, obviously, Marshall undefeated at home. Honestly, Marshall's been good. That didn't surprise me that much because I think we do know that Virginia Tech has struggled.
Yeah. They're struggled and they're banged up.
Right. And so to me, to be perfectly honest with you, Boston College thought they had found their quarterback. They played Florida State super, super close. The fact that they lost to undefeated Louisville 56-28, to me, that was the biggest win because I didn't know if Louisville was for real or not. And I think that this kind of tells us that they are. I mean, the quarterback threw for 388 yards and mm-hmm. 5 touchdowns. Juwan Jordan, the ex-Syracuse running back, mm-hmm. 18 carries, 134 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Be nice to have him back.
No, you ain't lying. You would be the one replacing Juwan Price or mm-hmm. maybe starting over LeQuint. But either way, to me, that home game with Louisville with a team that does not have to play Clemson or North Carolina or Florida State on their schedule, that's a team that I think we're going to be hearing a lot more of. I believe they just cracked the top 25 this week as undefeated. So to me, the most impressive win was Louisville beating Boston College by, you know, 28 points. And to me, the worst loss was Wake Forest losing at home, undefeated Wake Forest losing at home to Georgia Tech 30-16. That to me was.
I watched that game kind of like over my. Like, I was, it was on and I was enjoying myself, but.
Because to me, that just, you know, it's kind of solidified to me. I think Wake Forest and North Carolina State, I think they're. I think they took a step in the wrong direction from last year to this year. Not to say that it's their fault, but I just don't see them as strong a teams. And you lose your quarterbacks and stuff. You try to figure stuff out. But I don't see them as strong a teams as they were last year. And that was kind of my takeaways. Is just I thought Wake Forest was going to win that, stay undefeated. We still have 7 teams. I thought Wake Forest was a little bit better than that, even though I do know Georgia Tech has – the athletes, and again, Louisville yesterday, they blew my mind with that score. So
yeah, even though it was against Boston,
again, I mean, Boston College just lost to Florida State the week prior, 31-29. So I just don't see a situation where
that was an anomaly. Yeah, I agree.
And maybe
they're back to form. Boston College is back to form. So sometimes, you know, you underestimate your opponent. And maybe that's what Florida State did. And they almost blew it. So.
Yeah, you ain't lying about that.
Anyways, yeah, it's going to be fun from here on out. I think we're pretty much, I'm ready for full-on ACC play. And I'm ready to see what these boys can do in the ACC. And, you know, I think, you know, if I have to play my first game and it be Clemson, I'm okay with that right now, especially. And Clemson's going to come in there pissed off. And they're going to, but, you know, they're going to look to, they're going to definitely look to get back to old form, and they're going to try to use us as the cudgel to do it. But I don't think that necessarily it's going to be as easy as they might think. I feel like our guys, especially our defense, is going to be just as motivated. And
yeah, and they will be, but I'm just saying, something tells me that right now Clemson doesn't think anything's coming easy this year for them.
Well, that possibly, and Klubnik too has been, he's been somewhat inconsistent, to say the least. I mean, at least of what I've watched.
Absolutely. You know? So, that's why they're 2-2.
Yeah. And he got a water bottle stuck. He got a water bottle stuck in his face mask yesterday. So,
absolutely.
I mean,
you know, all over social media. It's hilarious.
How much more ridiculous could it get for Clemson right now? And I'm not trying to clown him, because I wouldn't underestimate him. But I'm just saying, Cade Klubnik has been on and off. Obviously, he's a talented guy, but I think that our defense, I think that they're going to be able to rattle him. And, you know, hats off to Elijah Clark, too. And Justin Barron, again, also, both Justin Barron led in tackles last week, too, behind.
Yeah, I think he got his first interception, too.
Yes, he did. But I think it was behind, was he behind Wax last week? Or no, it wasn't. It wasn't Wax. It was Jeremiah Wilson.
Yeah, Jeremiah Wilson. He was tackling everything that was in front of him. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so, no, Marlo Wax, he had, 7. Elijah had 8. Justin had 7 with his first interception 2 weeks in a row, that our captains get their first interceptions of their career, which is awesome to see. I thought Anwar Sparrow, he came in, he made some good plays. Jaden Gould, transfer from Nebraska, he got his first interception. That was a big one. And I think that, I think our special teams kind of came back, minus the missed PAT. Well,
that could have been a huge miss, though. I mean, look,
it could have been a huge miss. In hindsight, it wasn't.
In hindsight, it wasn't. But at the time, you're only going up by 6. It seemed like it could have been devastating, but it didn't matter
at the time, right? Yeah. Well, everything is so emotional at the times, right?
Right.
So we got a whole half, but even, you know, Jack Stonehouse coming out 3 punts for 153 yards, 51 yard average. So, made up for that as well. So, I think we do like the lights in the dome a little bit better.
I think so. I think they like. I think those boys like playing in the dome, and I think Clemson doesn't.
Yeah.
So let's pack that bitch and send them home.
Yeah. And I'm glad. And I was glad to see some longer runs by LaQuinn Allen and not just Garrett Schrader, right? For him to get to 20 carries, 104 yards, 1 rushing touchdown, and 1 ref knocked over.
Yeah, do you remember, was it Mo Neal who trucked a ref really bad? Like, he trucked a ref. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. He trucked it. That was reminiscent of circa what?
That was the makeup for the Okechukwu personal foul.
Yeah, right. And then the ref gets up and apologizes, obviously in the way. So anyway, all right. Well, I think that's about
what
it.
We got,
huh?
We got two. We got the preview, the Clemson preview Tuesday or Wednesday.
I'm looking at Tuesday this week for the Clemson preview, and then we'll get scores out, final score predictions out.
All right, cool. And coaches pregame. And
coaches pregame will be tomorrow. The time for the UNC game should be tomorrow.
Yes. So
and then I'm gonna be going to that game, God willing. I mean, I'm going to go to the game. I just I don't know what my plans are, and that's kind of what screws. I mean, like, I'm not mad at times. I am like, I don't care what time. I just, people got a plan, man. You know, it's 3.5 hours from my house, so it's like, you know, I could, if it's a 4 o'clock game, I can still drive there and drive home. And I can have my son drive, worst case scenario. Right. So,
I just need to, game.
If it's a 7:30 game, it's a little bit different story. Like, I'm going to be,
now you gotta, it's look too lodging. Late.
Yeah. I got to lodge. Exactly. So,
you could always crash at my house. It still would be an hour drive.
That's true. But yeah, I got to backtrack and then an hour and then drive another 3.5 home tomorrow morning. Or the next morning. So anyway, but we'll figure it out. And hopefully we can meet up. I heard the tailgating there sucks. And I know there's a few of us going, so a couple of listeners and Twitter folks, so it should be fun.
Yeah, well, I got my cousin's wife works for UNC, and they bought season tickets. They got them for a discounted value. So far they've, and they're obviously Syracuse fans, but they figure why not, you know, because UNC is a good team. They got an NFL quarterback. So they have been to the Appalachian State and Minnesota games. So they've kind of figured out best places to park for tailgating, best, you know, things to do and stuff like that. So, but from what I hear, it's definitely not set up the way that like NC State or Wake Forest. There's not a lot of big lots and stuff like that. So you got to plan accordingly.
It's like Syracuse.
Yeah. Something like that.
We should be used to it, right? Be nostalgic for us.
I mean, it'd be used to be, yeah, probably be used to it if we were used to the area, right?
Yeah, well, that's the tough thing. It's where do you go? But anyway. All right.
I don't give a shit what you or anybody else thinks or writes.
Okay, I know, Jim.
Sorry.
I know.
Sorry, Coach.
You've been telling us for years.
All right. That is going to do it for us. And just want to say thanks to everybody in the Twitter spaces. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for participating in the fan feedback. And remember, in those final score predictions, give Joe the meat. Joe loves the meat. What? We got to have
that. No. Come on. Stop spreading those rumors.
For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.